The reading this morning is from Luke chapter 11. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.'" Then he said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight and says, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him.' Then the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you, though he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend, yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Amen.
Well, that's another hole in the ground. Thank you. You remember last week I was expecting a particularly intense week and asked for your prayers. It was a particularly intense week, but I got through it okay. So thank you for your prayers. But also thank you to Tom, who's been giving me a bit of a breather. I didn't have to work yesterday this time, but nor did I have to prepare a sermon, because Tom is coming to speak to us again this morning. So thank you, Tom. I'll hand over to you.
Once again, freedom from the mask. Well, Father, may you be glorified. May you speak to us. Amen. Amen. Well, having talked last week about waiting upon the Lord, I felt that it would be appropriate this week to follow on with prayer. And so, my not too original title on prayer, I'll leave the creative titles to Dad. We end up starting off with Matthew's version of the Lord's Prayer. Now, it's the classic go-to for how to pray. Well, it is. Out of Jesus' own mouth. And he starts with encouraging us to that when we pray, to not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father, who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Now, a common theme in Matthew 6 is doing things not to be seen by others, but your Father knows exactly what you are doing. He knows what is on your heart. He knows your motives, your intentions. The Lord knows the human heart. And not keep on babbling like pagans. Paul later says, you know, to not cease in praying, which is not the same as keeping on babbling. So the Lord doesn't need to keep us keep on hearing the same thing multiple times within a few seconds. I think it probably means something like lots of flattery or something like that, trying to butter him up. So to pray without ceasing, to keep on lifting up in prayer towards the Lord, I think, to keep on that subject on one's heart and to persist in that prayer over the course of time, expecting the Lord to answer, to come back. So we'll come back to persistence in prayer in a minute. One of the problems with the Lord's Prayer is not the prayer itself. It's over the years we have become, it's one of those prayers we have a habit of just reciting because it's tradition. We have a tendency to do it. And so sometimes it can be a trial perhaps, or it's easy to slip into just saying it, but without truly taking it into one's heart. And Jesus says, this then is how you should pray. And it starts with, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Hallowed? Lord, may you make your name holy. Is not your name already holy, Lord? I believe what he's saying here is, may your name be regarded as holy by other people. May other people see it as holy. Restore the holiness of your name to other people. May they know your holiness. May you be set apart for other people. So, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. With the Holy Spirit in us, we're carrying around little pockets of the kingdom of heaven, I believe. So, it is yet to come in its fullness with Jesus, but in this land, we are representatives of the kingdom. And give us today our daily bread. And here we have perhaps an illusion, not illusion, allusion, reference to the time in the wilderness where the Israelites, having been rescued from Egypt, are going forth and relying upon the Lord's provision, who would in the evening send quail and they would receive meat from that. In the morning they would receive manna from heaven. Manna basically meaning what? I believe is the translation for manna. They didn't know what it was. What is it? And so it has been known throughout history. And, you know, that relying on the Lord to provide what is needed for that day. They couldn't really take, I said they couldn't really, they couldn't take, unless it was before the Sabbath, what was given to them on the previous day and keep it for the next day because it would spoil. Each had enough for that one day to keep them going through. And so it was to help them learn reliance upon the Lord. And we are very blessed today. We generally aren't living day to day in terms of the need for food. But we still pray, you know, Lord, give us today our daily bread. Because it isn't necessarily just about food, but about what we need for each day. Perhaps a bit of spiritual revitalization. Perhaps a word. Something to grow us in the Lord. Perhaps it is food. Perhaps it's money. There was a time in my family's lives where we pretty much were on that daily need of provision. I believe I'll leave that to Dad to describe at another point in time. I believe he has done in the past as well. That is an interesting time of our lives. And lead us not into temptation. Now, the Lord does not tempt us, but we may end up in situations where we are more liable to being tempted, or tested, as alternative translation is there. But deliver us from the evil one. Now, Jesus had spent some time in the wilderness, a time of testing, a time where the enemy came to tempt him, and again later on in Gethsemane, where once again the enemy had come and was testing him, tempting him. That time where it was all on the line, and yet Jesus said, "Oh Lord, please, may this cup be passed from me, but your will be done." Basically, there's lots of things we'd rather not end up be stuck in situations that are pretty rotten. And we say, okay, Lord, please may we not be placed in really dire situations, but if it is your will, then may that be done. May your will be first and foremost. For the kingdom first, for you first. Hallowed be your name, O Lord. And then he finishes with, for if you forgive other people, I feel like I've skipped over, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Which is key to the Christian life of forgiveness. Love your neighbour as yourself. The golden rule, love the Lord your God with all your heart and mind and soul and strength, and love your neighbour as yourself. And it is encapsulated in this prayer. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. But it's Paul who talks about the kindness and sternness of our God, to remember that. The importance to forgive other people. Today we are not focusing so much on forgiveness, but more on prayer in and of itself. Jesus later in Matthew 6 goes on to talk about not worrying. And before this, he talks about not stocking up treasures in heaven, being generous, and not being able to serve both God and money, keeping God as a priority, the kingdom as a priority. And he says, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labour or spin. And yet I tell you that not even Solomon, in all his splendour, was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what will we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. So again, placing first the kingdom, entrusting to the Lord in prayer, please give us today what we need. Give us today our daily bread, that which you have for us today. I don't think him saying that do not worry about tomorrow doesn't mean don't plan for tomorrow, but don't worry about it either. Commit it into his hands. Commit to the Lord your plans. Do what you can in your own power, what you can control, and commit to the Lord the rest. You've done what you can. He will do his end, what is right for us. Matthew continues with ask, seek, knock, just as Luke 11 had. When I was preparing this, I decided to check my emails. I'd asked for inspiration. And there in my emails was one of the Cape and Ray staff in their newsletter. Funnily enough, the newsletter was about prayer. Well, thank you, Lord. And so I browsed down, and Matt Holderness was talking about his experience in prayer, and talked about the reference of ask, seek, knock, which I hadn't had until that point. And he said, well, it's a, excellent passage, and here's a bit of a paraphrase. If you don't ask, you don't receive. If you don't seek, you don't find. And if you don't knock, the door won't be opened. David Pawson, in his book Unlocking the Bible, he talks about present continuous tense that's used in Greek, I believe. And he says the tense here is used, keep on asking and it will be given, keep on seeking and you will find, and keep on knocking and the door will be opened. There's a bit more emphasis on persistence there. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. Again, back to love your neighbour as yourself. And persistence. So, give good gifts in this version. Give the Holy Spirit in the other version. Which one? Which one? I believe the answer is it one or the other? Yes. I believe it is both. Another tale of persistence, Luke 18, the parable of the persistent widow. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, in a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, grant me justice against my adversary. For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me I will see that she gets justice, so that she won't eventually come and attack me. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice, and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Again, day and night persistence. Perhaps there's problems with not receiving what we ask for. James talks about this in his letter. In James chapter 1, he says, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. Brilliant. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. Now, I have had problems with doubt in the past. Have I said it right? Have I thought the right thing? A doubting Thomas? What? In chapter 4, James says, when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. He was talking to what seemed to be a bit of a troubled church at the time that he was writing to. There were some other problems there, some disparities between the rich and the poor, among other things. But our confidence to ask things of the Lord, to bring things to him. In John's first epistle, chapter 5, he says, and this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him. Wow, that's a pretty powerful statement. Anything according to his will. Which ends up with a question, what is the will of God? We'll get to that. Let's first start with being in the Lord. In John 15, Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes. Alternative translation to prunes in the Greek, he cleans. I thought it was an interesting translation. So that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean, because of the word I have spoken to you. Did Jesus just make a pun there? Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you, so that you might go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command. Love each other. Whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. In my name, in the name of Jesus. To ask something according to what Jesus would do, anything in his will. Love each other as I have loved you. It's a pretty well-known verse right there. To know the will of God. In Romans 12, Paul says, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Renewing of the mind. And how do we renew our mind? I believe, you know, pray, draw close to the Lord, spend time with him, get to know him. And there's the transforming power of the Holy Spirit, the fruit he bears in us as we spend time with him. I haven't referenced Galatians 5 here, but the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. The fruit the Spirit bears within us. And spending time in the Scripture, getting closer to the Lord. It's his word, it's his character is revealed in it. Let's have a look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. Paul, speaking to Timothy, encourages him, saying, "All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." And in Peter's epistles, his first, if I remember correctly, he encourages us to do good works so that others may see the Lord in us. So that it's the Lord's will that by doing good works that we may silence the words of foolish people. "Dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us." Paul says in Philippians chapter 2, "Continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose." So many things to entrust to the Lord, to keep on praying, to lift up. Give us today our daily bread. Give us what we need for today. Help us to do your will. May your will be done. May your kingdom come here on earth as it is in heaven. Help us to be part of that, Lord. Help us to make your name holy. Let's just finish with James 5. He says, "Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you ill? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective." Elijah was a human being, even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. Encouragement to draw near to the Lord. Make sure we're right with him. Lord, show us where we've gone astray. Show us where we need to change. Lead us in your ways and change us. Make us like Jesus. Paul also said in one of his epistles that he who started a good work in us will see it through to its completion. One day we will see him as he is, and we will be like him. Day by day we are being made better, made like him. Just ask and expect the Lord to fulfill his work, to that we would grow in him, that he would give us our daily bread, what we need, that he would grow us and build us up. May he lead us in his ways. May he guide us. A voice saying, "This is the way, walk in it." So I shall leave that there, and we shall have our final song after I've finished with this. Lord, I thank you for your guidance, your love. I thank you that we can come to you so openly in prayer and that we can lift such things to you. And I just ask, Lord, that you would continue to grow us in our faith in you. Help us to trust you more, to walk in you more. And not to worry, but to entrust our plans to you and see your will done. To offer our lives as a living sacrifice and to be renewed in our minds. May your will be done. May your kingdom come here on earth as it is in heaven. May you be glorified, Jesus. Amen.